Good Sunday afternoon. This is Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor Beacon of Hope Ministries, and welcoming you to Living the Good Life. You know how I know it's going to be a great show today, Nan?
How do you know that?
Because it's been one little hassle after another, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, it has. Boy, has it been.
But that's how we know it's going to be a great show. I'm sitting in today for Pastor Marcia, who is on a well-deserved vacation, and she'll be back on the show next week. So we're here today, and I just want to again say we're from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we have a kind of an unusual church. We don't meet on Sundays. We meet on Fridays, and we call it The Gathering. And it's really a good time. I would invite anyone who is in the Clearwater area, whether you're here permanently or maybe you're one of the snowbirds coming down for the winter time, please feel free to come and visit. We meet at the Ramada Inn at 3580 Olmerton Road in Clearwater. We meet at 6:30 on Friday evenings, but we actually get together about 6 o'clock or so. We have prayer for about a half hour. We take prayer requests. We read prayers out of the Prayers That Avail Much book. And then we get into some praise and worship about 6:30. We get into the Word. It's very interactive. Please feel free to bring your dinner if you're just, because I know some of us come right home right there from work.
I do.
And Nan always brings her dinner. And feel free and bring your Bible and the notebook. We have a really, really, really good time. We started, and I know when Pastor gets back, she's going to, since we're coming into the time of the Thanksgiving holiday, I know Pastor is going to talk about, you know, Thanksgiving. And we sort of started that on Friday night, and I want to kick off from there, from where we were on Friday at the gathering, and go into that a little bit more. But we're going to be talking about being thankful in stressful or chaotic times. And the God thing is that earlier in the week is when the Lord told me to talk about Psalm 73 on Friday night and Psalm 84 on Sunday. And that was before the bombings in Beirut, the bombings in Paris, you know, the things that make us feel unsafe and make us feel chaotic. And God is so good that, you know, he gets us, he prepares us for this even before it happens. He gets us prepared for it even before it happens. And I think it's kind of what he was doing to me, is saying, you know, this is going to be timely. You're going to need to talk about this. Has that ever happened to you, Nan, where maybe God's given you a word before something happened?
Yes, as a matter of fact, about things have been real stressful at work and the various things. And about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was praying and everything. He's like, it's going to get tougher for you, which I didn't want to hear that. And he let me know, I know you don't want to hear that, but you're going to be okay. You're going to make it through, and you're going to be okay. And, I have just seen him move in so many interesting situations of being able to keep me calm, being able to keep me, actually keep my mouth shut in some situations that were unjust, you know. But he let me know. But what was so comforting about that is that he let me know because he loved me, and he let me know to let me know I was going to be okay, and I have. And so, yes, I that's my most recent occurrence of that kind of situation happening.
And God prepares us for that. I mean, he prepares us for those things if we stay with him. You know, if we remain close to God, he will see us through no matter what it is, and also prepare us. I mean, that's why, you know, you look at prophecy in the Bible. He prepared Israel for the coming of the Messiah. He told them, well, actually, from the Garden of Eden, that the Messiah was going to come. You know, he told them that. And through all the different prophecies of where the Messiah would be born and what time the Messiah would be born and what the Messiah was going to do with his life and the death of the Messiah, the resurrection of the Messiah, all of that was foretold. And yet, so many people missed it. And sometimes, you know, God does that with us. You know, he lets us in, you know, he lets us in on what he's thinking, what's going, you know, what gets us ready. But we have to be ready to listen and to prepare our hearts. Because if we're not, then we miss it. Like so many of the people did when Jesus came, they missed it. Mm-hmm. And, you know me, I love like end time, second coming of Jesus stuff. And he told us, Daniel told us, Jesus himself told us, John told us in the book of Revelation, let's not miss that. Because, and that does indirectly tie in with what I wanted to talk about today. But, you know, we started in Psalm 73 on Friday night, and it actually is one of my favorites.
you and Pastor.
Well, I know.
One of my favorites.
It's one of my many favorites.
One of my many favorites.
You know, I like it because it is, it's me. I mean, I think it was, as I turned to it, I believe it was Asaph that wrote it. And it's me.
That's what you said Friday night.
yeah, I've been there. I've lived this. Yeah, it's a Psalm of Asaph. And it's really good because it talks about envying the wicked. And I expanded on that, mm-hmm. because it's not just envying the wicked. It's anything that gets in the way of us being thankful to God. And, you know, if it depends, and I made the point on Friday night, where are we looking? Mm-hmm. Where is our gaze? Is our gaze on the world and what the world can do for us? Or is our gaze on God and what God can do for us? Because in Jesus, well, we have all the promises of victory. We have all the promises of deliverance, salvation, prosperity, health, everything. You know, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, every promise is yes in Jesus, and we add the amen. And that's an important thing to remember, but sometimes, like Asaph in Psalm 73, we get sidetracked. We look the wrong way. We look one way or the other instead of looking at God. And, you know, he eventually has like a meltdown later on in the psalm. But we'll get to that in just a minute. I want to start with our first song. This is actually one of Pastor's favorites and one of mine, and we do sing this at church. Whom Shall I Fear by Chris Tomlin.
Shall I feel? is always by my side.
What a great song. And it's important to remember that the Lord God is with us always. And Nan, I think you have a poem.
I do. What he just gave me is entitled, You Need Not Fear. I am here for you. I'm always here to comfort you. I will help you in all things, and you'll know what to do. You need not fear anything, for I am here and there. I am always with you. Look to me with heartfelt prayer. I am holding your hand right now. Child, everything will be okay. You are receiving my strength. You will see brighter days. Thank me now for this gift to you.
Amen. Amen. Great. And I forgot to mention, and I do apologize, I am joined today by Nan Watson here in the studio, and Megan Kramer, who will be joining us. Is Megan on? Megan, are you here already?
I'm here.
Oh, yay.
Hi, Nan.
Hey, Megan.
Yay.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Nan? How you doing, Pastor Jan?
We're doing good.
Doing great. Good to hear your voice again.
It's good to talk to you guys, too.
Oh. So, we're talking about being thankful in stressful times, and how topical is this? You know, I had mentioned before the song that Psalm 73, and I just want to really briefly go through that. That's kind of my psalm, and because I've been there. You know, I've been there so many times. In verse 1, he says, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. And I think sometimes, you know, I mentioned on Friday, where do we keep our eyesight? Where's our vision going? What are we concentrating on? What are we looking at? And this is perfect here. For I envied the proud, and I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. And, you know, with all the chaos in the world and the terrorism in the world, I have a lot of friends on Facebook that are, you know, quite upset. And rightly so, and I'm not. We certainly should be, but it's like you're forgetting who's ultimately in charge here, and that's what the psalmist was saying. You know, I almost slipped because I kept my eyesight on the wicked. I envied them because they're getting away with this. Okay? Do you ever feel frustrated like that, Megan? You know, I'm just so upset because they're getting away with it.
Well, absolutely, but not towards that situation, but because we know who the ultimate in charge is in that situation. But yes, in other areas, yes, and I can, you know, here I am, I'm gonna talk about high school, but that would be for me would have been the most time in my life when I would have felt that type of envy towards other people, you know. Jealousy towards the people that had nicer clothes than I do. Jealousy towards the person that drove a nicer car than I did in high school. You know, those kind of things. But, you know, to me now looking back, knowing, you know, reading that psalm, that's petty. Because those are worldly things that tend to make us jealous when, you know, when we see those things. But we have such a greater reward through knowing the Lord Jesus and knowing God. That is coming, you know, our time is coming. And so if people have that type of feeling in their heart, or they have that type of feeling towards a situation or someone, you know, you need to get right with the Lord, because that's not a good thing to have in our heart. That's a sin.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, and I think that if we put our eyes into the Lord, we put our soul and all of our being into the Lord, that we'll know, that we will learn through the Bible and learn through teaching, that our rewards are much greater for the deeds that we do, even though sometimes it's not fun. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I want to read verses. I don't have my glasses on yet, so I can't tell you what verse. I know what. 13 and 14. And I like this because, and Nan, I'd like for you to comment on this. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. You ever felt like that, Nan? You know, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? You know?
Well, I, like Megan, I guess, can relate to high school. You know, it's like, you know, I was a good little girl. I did everything right. You know, but yet it seemed like all my friends who were able to sneak away and go off and party and drink, smoke pot, they were able to do that. Don't shame me like that. I didn't. Well, I basically didn't. But, you know, I mean, they would go off on a regular basis, and yet I couldn't do that. And it was like, I didn't feel it was fair. You know, my parents were more strict than that. I didn't feel it was fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, now I'm grateful. There's no telling what could happen to me. But at the time, I was not having any grateful feelings.
Okay. So you were not thankful at that point?
At that point, no. But, you know, as you're going through it, as with the he's saying here in the psalm, you know, it's like, I've done everything, basically, I've done everything right. And yet, I'm not getting things I think I should get.
Right. And I like this. I get trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. You know, Lord, I'm trying to do what's right. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like I'm doing it for nothing. And I know I've gone through that, too. And again, it's where am I looking? What is my focus on? Because if we focus on the things around us, high school to now, we're gonna feel this way. You know, I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. But I like what Asaph says in verse 15. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. He's kind of talking to God here. You know, if I'd really said this, and thank the Lord, I did not, but I would have been a traitor to your people. He goes on to say, so I tried to understand why the wicked prosper and what a difficult task it is. Then I went to the sanctuary of God, and I understood the destiny of the wicked. So this was the big point that I made on Friday night was, Asaph got his eyes off the wicked and off all the stuff they were doing, went to the sanctuary, got his vision back on the Lord. And he says, then I finally understood. And he goes on to talk about what's really, you know, the end of the wicked, what's really going to happen, and how, again, God has it all under control. You know, he says, oh, wait a minute, you know, you really do have them on a slippery path. I may not be able to see it right now. I may not be able to see it, but you do have them on a slippery path. And then he goes on to say, oh, a little bit further down, in verse 21, then I realized that my heart was bitter. Okay, we talked about, we had that long series we did on Ruth about Naomi, and she changed her name to Bitter. He said, then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant that I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Now, this was his confession to God. This was Asaph saying, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I took my eyes off of you. I got all bitter and confused inside. I must have really seemed like just an animal. And then he says, yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. And then these next two are two of my favorite verses, Nan. Verses 25 and 26 from Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. And that's a promise that we can live by. When we start feeling like I really have nothing to be thankful for, you know what? God, you know, God is with us. And it doesn't matter. God remains the strength of my heart, he's mine forever. Megan, how do you comment on that for us?
Absolutely. You know, I'm trying to think of where to start. When you think of the Lord as your strength, I think of him as my ultimate provider. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's a lot going on in the world. And it's scary. I mean, it downright is scary because we don't know if we turn around, if there might be a terrorist behind us. We don't know. And, you know, some of us may feel like we don't have a hedge of protection here on the earth, but we really do, because as you were reading in those passages, the Lord knows the wicked's final chapter, which is they're going to lose. And, you know, we're going to see some things here on earth that are downright scary. And, you know, I'm scared myself. It is a scary situation. But that's where I know through what I have, you know, what I have seen in my life and what you guys have seen in your life, you know that strength. Because we've all of us have our own testimony. And all of us have seen, you know, those times that of what Psalm, is it Psalm 73? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's where we've been.
Psalm 73 is saying is that sometimes we have those feelings in our hearts, but it's us that know that we can tell the Lord, hey, you know, I felt this way, but Lord, you know, even though that my health is failing, or that, you know, that I'm having these feelings of jealousy, or I'm having these feelings of animosity, that Lord, that I can tell you because I know that you forgive me, and I know that you're going to give me strength to get through this. That's what that means to me.
Megan, you said something that I want to expound on for a second, but I can't, Jim. You talked about how we trust, but how everyone has their own testimony and where they are, you know. And there's people listening and hearing us that, you know, they haven't been raised in church. They haven't attended for all their adult life. They are just new to church, or they're just new to listening to the radio show, listening to reading the word, whatever, but they still have a testimony, you know. There's
right.
Our just because we all have been in this a little bit longer than they have does not minimize theirs or where they are. I mean, that's important that they have that to hold on to, you know, and it grows as they grow, you know. But it's as equally as important, you know, as and share worthy, if you will, that they can share with people. Share worthy, I never thought of that term. But, you know, as we
goes,
can.
Here she goes, making up words again.
We got to make up words. I love to write. I'll make up my own words. So.
But that's a good point, Nan. Everybody has a testimony. And I think I would wager that a lot of people have been Psalm 73. That could be a lot of people's testimony just because... Well, I know, I think for all of us, we've already talked. We've all been there at some point or another. We've all had that testimony where we got mad at God for something, or we allowed our lack of knowledge about what God, you know, about the ultimate outcome or the ultimate plan to make us nervous, frightened, bitter even. And that can be so, I mean, it stops us. It stops us in our tracks as believers because, you know, we talk about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving time and being thankful. It's hard to be thankful if you're afraid. It's hard to be thankful if you're envying the wicked. It's hard to be thankful if you're mad at God. Because thankfulness means you give thanks because you trust in God. You know, it's kind of back. It's kind of a circle sort of thing. You give thanks because God has been faithful to you. He's given you things. He's blessed you. That so you thank him for those things. You thank him for his blessings, and then because he is faithful, we can thank him, and it just becomes sort of a pattern. That's why I think Paul said, in everything give thanks, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, in everything give thanks. Now, I you know me, I got to look up the Greek and all that. I just wanted to double check because I've seen some translations that and some people have said, you know, for everything, give thanks. And that's not what that says. It says in everything, in every circumstance.
Yeah.
And that reference, just so everybody knows, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And I like the way I'm using, you know me, I've got like, you know, translation for every day. Today I'm using the New Living Translation, and it says, and this literally what it means, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. And, okay, Nan, stop shaking your head.
Well.
But it's, I mean.
I was thinking of something.
Okay. But it's in every circumstance. Don't, you know, you don't have to give thanks that, I mean, you know, I don't give thanks for the bad things that happen. But the real test is, can we give thanks in the middle of those circumstances? Which shows kind of where our trust level in God is at. Does that make sense, Nan?
Can I share a story?
Absolutely.
That's what I was shaking my head about. I don't know why I was shaking my head, but I did. There was a situation that happened, and it was a really bad situation. Adam was at a church, and I met with the pastor and his wife, and I wasn't sure the direction to go with the situation, which is why I met with him. And the Lord told me, just walk away. And what was happening stopped with my words, but, you know, and it was like, but God, I mean, law officials would have been involved. It had been on the news, you know, it had been really bad. And the Lord told me, okay, it stopped, just walk away. I'm taking care of everything. And I can remember laying across my bed on my maroon comforter, wailing and crying, going, God, I don't understand. I can never go back there. And I don't understand. I love those people. I was in leadership. I don't understand. But in the midst of all that, as you look to him and trust him, believe him, and even praise him, not for it, but in it, you know, I wound up going to a church afterwards where I really learned how to study the Bible. I had never really taught. It was a Baptist church, and they teach how to study the Bible, you know. And I learned how to study the Bible. I was in a lot of Bible studies there. It was great. You know, proceeded to, you know, then ultimately went to another church for several years and learned stuff there. So it was like I would still have been at that place if not for what had happened.
Right.
You know, so, right. He doesn't necessarily say everything is okay that has just happened, but as we can praise him in what is happening, we grow. It serves as a testimony, and you can relate with other people in a later time. If they go through something similar, you can say, hey, I've been there. Let me tell you what I did.
Exactly. And it just came to me. When we give thanks to God, in everything give thanks, we release God's presence into that situation. And that is so important that we see that. In everything, give thanks. In Psalm 22, verse 3, God inhabits the praises of his people. Mm-hmm. So when we praise God, when we give him thanks, in the middle of a crisis situation, he shows up. He is there because he sits enthroned on the praises of Israel. And we praise him first, and we give him thanks. First of all, we're acknowledging that God is in charge, that the Lord is God Most High. He is in charge, that Jesus has got it in control. And then his presence is released in us, our peace. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're looking to God and thanking him in the middle of whatever it is, then we can know his presence, we can know his peace, we can know his guidance. How about that work for you, Megan?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to say something. People are probably going to think, wow, she's out of her mind. But You know, when, and I don't, here I go, I got to talk about Brayton again, but, you know, when that whole thing occurred, that's all I did through the situation was praise him. Because it was, you know, it was either praise him or get down on the ground and cry. Mm-hmm. And I don't fall. I don't give up in a situation because I know that the Lord God Almighty is my strength. So when the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, I knew that. That's exactly what I knew I had to do. And I had to praise the Lord again in that situation because I prayed for Grayson not to feel pain. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, because 2 or 3 minutes after birth, the Lord took him to heaven. So that was an answer to prayer. And, you know, through that whole entire circumstance, yes, my son did pass away, but, you know, there's glory on the other side, because if Grayson wouldn't have went to heaven, and I've said this many times, Zoe wouldn't be here.
Right.
Because, you know, I, you know, have a young baby, I'm not going to want to have another baby that soon. So Zoe wouldn't even be here. So that's another praise you, Jesus moment that, you know, even though we didn't think that either it could be anything good sometimes come from death, there is. And that is the promise that he gives us is, you know, even though there's hard trials here on this earth, we need to learn to recognize how to praise the Savior through those times, because, you know, it might take a while to come out of that situation, but I'm going to tell you what, people, you're going to come out victorious every single time if your heart and your mind are in the right place.
Amen. Talk about a testimony. Oof. And that is so true. And I mean, you have lived it. I mean, you have lived 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You gave thanks in everything because you knew it was God's will. And look what happened. God did miracles, you know. And people would say, well, you know, people who may not understand, who are still kind of living the first part of Psalm 73, would say, yeah, she's out of her mind, you know.
Yep.
You know, she lost her son. You know, but you're right. When we look at those things from God's perspective.
Exactly.
Then, because we don't see the finished product yet. And I always remember, and if you follow my Facebook page, you know I'm always reposting Corrie Ten Boom stuff, because I just love Corrie Ten Boom. And one of the things and that they show on there is, and I saw her do this back in 1975, and I remember her talking about it. She would show a tapestry, and on what she would do would show she'd show the backside, and you can imagine what it looked like. It was just a mess, you know, threads going every which direction, knots and loose ends and all that stuff. And that's, you know, that's how we sometimes see our situations, just as a total wreck. And then she turned it over, and on that tapestry, it's just a beautiful hand-stitched crown. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. And that, you know, that's God's perspective. He sees already the finished product with us.
Right.
And which is amazing, you know, that he sees that already. We need to start, you know, we need to remember and ask God for a vision of the finished product, because that way, you know, again, we're thankful, and thankfulness, I think, leads to that, because thankfulness means I'm trusting in God. When I praise God, I'm saying, you're worthy, Lord. You are the one in charge. You are the one who's going to take care of this. And by doing that, I get his perspective. I begin to get God's perspective on whatever the situation is. And that is incredibly helpful to me, because I tend to be somebody, I would just sit and, you know, ask people that know me. I could sit and brood and...
Not you.
Oh, not me. No, heavens no. Get touchy and... irritable and, you know, bitter. I could get really bitter, and you know, it's funny, as I've grown older, you know, I actually have prayed, Lord, don't let me become a bitter old man, because I could sense the devil and my flesh trying to kind of lead me in that direction. Oh, look how, you know, you've been waiting since 1973 for Jesus to come back, and he mm-hmm. hasn't come back yet, and all this stuff is still going on. And yeah, I could sit and let that all kind of run around inside of me and get real bitter. But, you know, the timing isn't in my hands. It's in God's hands. And you had said it before, Megan, about God is our rock and our strength. I mean, he is. And we need to remember that, because I'm thankful that I serve the living God who is the rock, the impenetrable rock, that he is my fortress, my shield, my deliverer. And I don't have to fear. I don't have to be afraid of what man can do to me. I think of Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't have to be. Because as Job said, even though he slay me, yet shall I praise him. You know, finally, when Job got that revelation, he said, you know what? Even if he slays me, I'm still going to praise him. I know that my Redeemer lives. And that's so important that we have that kind of perspective, especially looking at world events and even events in our own lives. I mean, we all go through this kind of stuff every day. Stuff that irritates, stuff that we just don't understand. Why did this happen to me? And yet, if we keep that perspective that God is my rock, God is my shield, then, and God is in control, then we can have that peace. We don't have to get bitter or anxious or fearful. We can praise God. We can trust him, which I think is a pretty good lead-in to the next song, which is A Mighty Fortress by Second Chapter of Acts. And I chose this. This is really, really old, and it's actually a very old hymn. But I would encourage everybody, you know, one of the things I knew, found out after I got saved, was that the hymns were just wonderful. Because I went to a Methodist church at the time, and I never, you know, you get there and you sing hymns, you know, and you just don't even think about what you're singing. And even for all the songs we play here on the radio show, listen to the words. You know, the words of songs, old and new, are life-giving. So I just encourage you, all of our listeners, to really, really focus in on the words, because they are great. And our God is a mighty fortress.
Yeah.
love that song.
I know you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting here singing it. So
yes, you were.
But it's true. I mean, think of all the words in that, especially, you know, talk about the last verse, especially the word, you know, talk about Jesus, who is, of course, the Word of God made flesh. And we don't have, you know, we don't have to tremble what the devil throws at us. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. And then talking about, you know, let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. And I don't want, I obviously do not want that to sound morbid or like I'm out looking to get martyred or something, even though that is one of my spiritual gifts. As I jokingly say, yeah. It's the gift you only use once.
That's right.
But we need to have maybe less of an attachment to the things of the world. And I do want to go into that once we finally get to Psalm 84. But I know first Nan has a poem for us.
I do. I am a mighty fortress upon whom you can depend. I am here and will defend you against attacks against you. It is by my hand that you can continue to stand. It is by my strength that you can continue to make it through. Right now, look to me for all the needs you have. You will be fine. Things will work out okay. You will look back on this day that you've learned this. For you, it will be a remarkable, lovely, strengthening day. Trust me that I am in control of all things. I see the future. Trust me, I will work all things out for you. I am your mighty fortress who loves you so much. Continue to look to me and always do as you know to do.
Amen. And just a note here to our listeners. I've been on with Nan, I know that at least some of the poems that she writes are for specific people. So if you're feeling like this was written for you, please let us know. You can contact us at, you can contact Pastor Marcia at pastor@bohmglobal.com. You can contact me at pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. If you want copies of Nan's prayers when you hear, or her poems, which are kind of prayers too, let us know and we'll make sure to send you those. So in Psalm 84, the psalmist starts out, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heavens, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God." This kind of goes back to the end of Psalm 73. "Whom have I in heaven but you, and on earth I desire no one but you." And the psalmist here is saying, you know what, Lord, your dwelling place is lovely. He goes on to say, "Even the sparrow finds a home. The swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God." The psalmist, it sounds like he's, you know, a little bit envious of the birds, you know, the sparrows, because they could build nests within the temple and there wasn't a whole lot you could do about it because they'd build them up high where you couldn't reach them. And it says, you know what? Even a bird wants to be near God. You know, they're building their nests in the temple because they want to be near God. And, you know, I just love this. How lovely is your dwelling place? How lovely it is to be in your presence.
I want to say something I just thought of, hadn't thought of in probably 20 years.
Uh-oh.
A church I used to attend where I was in leadership there also, and of course I had a key to the church. And As I was dealing with some decisions that I needed to make in my life with regards to the possibility of a job change, and I really didn't know what to do, and then other times also, I would go into church when there was nobody there, and I can remember we had like three pulpit lights that shone down on the pulpit, you know, to help the pastor to see better when he was speaking. And I would go in and I would turn those lights on, and there was only lights in the whole sanctuary. Everything else was dark. It was just up there was illuminated with the lights. And the altars were right there on both sides, you know. And I can remember, I mean, it felt, it was such a holy place for me to be there. And I would spend time with the Lord. I played the guitar. I would sing songs there and play my guitar and sing and pray and search God out.
And you're not playing it at church now. Why?
We don't have three pulpit lights. I'm joking.
All right, Pastor and I are going to talk about
that. Okay, we'll be talking about that later. But, I mean, that was just such... I mean, when we read that part where I'm in NIV, but where it says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. And that brought that whole scene to memory. When I would do that, I felt so, and, you know, a lot of people just can't go and do that, okay? But they can make an altar. They can make a place at their house or where their store, wherever they are, you know? But it was just such a special, mm-hmm. special, in the courts of the Lord. It was awesome. I mean, of course, he spoke to me a lot, but I felt this awesome presence.
And I think that's important, what you said. A lot of us can't go to, you know, a church. And I think sometimes we get hung up on, mm-hmm. it has to be in a church. I can't find God's presence right. outside of church. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I find God's presence a lot. You know, and during my, just wherever I'm doing my quiet time, either in the computer room or the bedroom, wherever I'm doing that, that's where I can find God. That's where I can be in his courts. And no matter where it is, we need to long for that. And even, you know, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. That needs to be our desire, to get close to God.
We you know, you were talking about being close to God, and you know, there's a young man, he's a temporary teacher at our school, he's an associate pastor, really fine young man, and we were talking about spending time with the Lord and everything, and when he found out that I have to drive 45 minutes to work, wow, what great time you have with God. And I mean, he got really excited about my time that I could have with God. And I thought that was pretty cool. But he says, because we were talking about having to carve out time. And, you know, he has a wife. He has three children. He has a job. You know, he has a church. I mean, where do you find the time to really spend that one-on-one time? He's like, that's great. But so people can do that in their car, even driving in the midst of the crazy traffic.
And as somebody who tends to get road rage on occasion, praising God, putting, you know, either listening to the radio, having a tape in, that is something that really, really helps me, you know, to A, lessen the road rage, but B, I bring God's presence into the car. So I hear we have a special guest speaker on with us. I believe Betty took Megan's place briefly. Betty, are you
here? Hi.
Hey.
I'm here.
Hi, Betty. I'm sorry. I just saw the text.
Well, that's okay. We know you're a little slow.
Yeah, I'm slow. That's okay. You still love me?
Slow, but very much love.
Hey, great.
Well, then she showed it to me. I'm thinking, okay, how do I introduce
you?
We have a special guest, yeah. guest radio personality today, Betty from Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
So good. It's really good to hear your voice, too.
Well, thank you. I'm just a fill-in for just a few minutes until Megan and Zoe can have their time together, and I'm glad I was able to fill in for
her. Oh, I am too. Well, we're in Psalm 84, and you know, I love these next few verses. It says in verse 4, "Oh, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises." And you know, unless you really know God, that verse is going to sound like utter foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to sing God's praises all day long. That's just stupid. And yet, I love this. What joy. What joy for those who can live in your house, who can be in God's presence all the time, always singing his praises. And that is just so important. And then these next verses are absolutely words to live by.
Yeah.
What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who've set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Wow. I love those verses, because those are verses that, in the, you know, all of us who had some sort of tragedy can cling to. And when we know that our strength, and the key here is the joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord. We have to acknowledge that God is our strength, first of all, that our strength does come from the Lord.
Amen.
And we have to set our hearts on pilgrimage. And I know that's how the NIV translates that, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we have to remember is, no matter what goes on around us, our hearts need to be set on pilgrimage. And the New Living Translation says, pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And we need to remember, we're on a pilgrimage to the New Jerusalem, to heaven. This, that, you know, there's so many good old songs. This earth is not my home. You know, I'm just a wandering. And that's true. We need to keep that perspective, because sometimes we get too tied into the world system. And by that, I mean just the world and everything that's in it, which, you know, John, of course, calls corrupt. But the world, the whole world system, we sometimes get too tied into that and trying to do things in a worldly way. And yet, the psalmist says, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. You know, we need, and again, it goes back to what I said earlier about where are we looking? Where are we focusing? Am I focusing on my life down here? And yes, I want to have a comfortable life. Absolutely, I want to have, as I approach retirement, I want to make sure I'm going to have a comfortable retirement. But I have to keep that in perspective. I'm not out there daily looking constantly for new cars or new this, new that. I'm not focusing so much on, I got to look like so-and-so, because he sure looks good at my age, you know, because that's focusing on what the world wants. And yet we need to focus. We need to have our hearts set on pilgrimage. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that our citizenship is in heaven. And from there, we await a Savior who will redeem these mortal bodies, clothe them with immortality. And, you know, and Paul, and I got to thinking about it just real briefly here, that Paul, for him to say something like that was amazing, because he was a Roman citizen. And that carried a lot of weight, like being an American citizen. That carried a lot of weight. If you were a citizen of Rome, you had certain rights. They couldn't, first of all, they could not crucify you.
That's a good thing.
Of course, Paul was beheaded, but right, that was certainly a lot quicker than crucifixion. It wasn't as shameful. But, I mean, there were certain rights. You had the right to appeal to Caesar, which Paul did. And, you know, so that was not light, I'm sure not lightly said by Paul. He says, wait a minute, my true citizenship, I'm not Roman. I'm a citizen of heaven. And with that thought, let's go to station ID. We'll be right back on Living the Good Life.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Jesus bless.